Good morning, everybody. Did you enjoy the worship? Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise. Today, as I stand before you, my spirit is troubled. I heard a couple of things this morning that just tends to upset me a lot. God gave me this verse, and I'm going to read it to you. It comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. It's God speaking to the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write. Okay, the first thing that I want to say is, it's important to note that God starts off by saying to the angel of the church in Sardis, write the following. Who is writing? Jesus is writing. Who is he writing to? He's writing to what commonly is referred to as the bride of Christ, which is the church, which is the body of Christ, which is you and me. And he doesn't actually write to the church. He writes to what is referred to here as to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? In other words, if you want to understand how God sees things a little bit different to the way we see things. You know, we look at the pastor or the leadership of the church as whoever is in charge of what's happening there, but who does God say is in charge of every church? Okay, maybe you've never seen this before. Maybe you've never thought about this before, but every church has an angel assigned by God to take charge over that congregation or denomination or church or however you want to put it. And, you know, many times we talk about the demonic. Well, we have to talk about the demonic because people have demonic problems and demonic problems have to be dealt with, and that's just the way it is. But there are two sides to the coin. If the demonic is real, which we know it's real because we've seen demons manifest and scream and perform and come out of people and do all sorts of stuff, the other side is also real. Now, let's take it this way. How many of you, before you came to a meeting where you saw demons manifest and perform and scream and sometimes speak and reveal things, how many of you grew up in a church setting where even though the Bible talks about demons, you never really gave much notice to them? You didn't really understand that they were literally, you know, that should be taken literal. I'm just, okay. Well, it's pretty much everybody here. Which is a scary thought because most of you come from a church background. In other words, you were not really prepared for life out there because these things are real and they are part of our life. Now, looking at what I just shared with you now and the question that I asked you, how many of you come from a church background where even though the Bible speaks about the demonic, you never experienced it, and to you it was like it must be figurative because surely they can't be real? I would say 95%+ of you raised your hands. Now, let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's talk about the angels. If it wasn't for the fact that demons manifested through people, a lot of you here would not believe. And don't tell me you would, because I've dealt with church people most of my ministry life. If you didn't see it with your own two eyes, you would not have believed it, even though the Bible says it. Do you know how many times I talk to people and they say to me, it's not like that. You know, my friend, you must wake up. If the Bible says it, it's true. It's not negotiable. And it's not open to your interpretation. If the Bible says this is the way it is, you have to accept that that is the way it is. Now, the reason why pretty much everybody here today can believe is because you have seen. But Jesus also said, blessed are you if you believe, though you do not see. Today we live in a society where this is really the way people have become. If we can't see it, we will not believe it. And that is a problem because that attitude is contrary to faith. You see, faith expects you to believe in something even though you do not see it as if it has already happened. By faith, you must believe that you are prosperous. Some of you battle to do that because, but I don't see it. Well, that's your problem. You should see it. And you know, we're not talking pie in the sky fairy tale stuff here. These are the things, these are the foundations of the Christian faith. It's called the Christian faith, by the way. We should believe. Now, it's amazing when you have people that come from a church background. Let's just get real. I have numerous times been to churches where the Holy Spirit, I would like to say, is not always welcome. Now, I'm not trying to curse the church. I'm just being factual. I'm just being realistic. And the reason I know the Holy Spirit is not welcome is because the moment the Holy Spirit begins to move, everybody's up in arms. Oh, this is not right. Oh, this can't be from God. Oh, God will never do that. Says who? If these things are in the Bible, why you tell me that God will not do that? Of course God is going to do that. You know, Jesus walked into the synagogue and cast out demons. The only people that were not happy was the religious spirit sitting there. Because I can tell you, the person that got delivered from the demon was praising God. His wife was praising God. Let's say that he was a womanizer and he just got delivered. Who do you think was the happiest, him or the wife? It was the wife. Come on. But the religious spirit sitting next to him was all offended because this is not the way we want to have church. Well, you know, God doesn't have to give it to you the way you want it. He gives it to you the way it works. Amen. You remember when you were young and many times your mother said to you, this is the way that it is. And you were like all upset. And now you tell your kids the same thing. This is the way it is. You see, your mother was right. And it's the same thing with us and God. You know, there are many things that we wanted this way, and God says, but if I give it to you that way, nothing is going to work. Oh, but I want it. You sound like a spoiled little brat, don't you? And that's how a lot of people treat God. We want it on our terms. God is not going to move according to your terms. God moves according to the principles governing his kingdom set out in his word. And if we can't accept that, God will not work in your life. And I want to say something to you. If you don't see God working in your life, you should start asking a couple of questions. Why not? Because God does work in other people's lives. And if God can work in one person's life, then I want to tell you something. He will work in everybody's life. But probably that person is doing things a bit different to the way that you do things. Well, a lot of things have got to do with a person's heart. Yes, absolutely. Now listen to this. We believe that demons are real because we see them. We've heard them speak. Now, probably you've never heard an angel speak. But does that mean that they're not real? I want to tell you something. This is something I don't often talk about, but I know that I know that I know angels are real. Angels have appeared to me on numerous different occasions. Just the other day, an angel appeared to me in a dream and said to me, this and this and this is going to happen. Guess what? The next day, everything that the angel spoke to me in the dream about happened in front of my eyes. How's that? Do I have to doubt? No, I don't. But you know what? I don't have to believe just based on my experience. I believe because the word of God says so. And here's the thing. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write. There is somebody here today that you and I cannot see. Well, I actually want to put it to you this way. There's a couple of things here today that we can't see. We're going to see them manifest later because when I pray for people, you are going to hear a couple of demons come out. Guess what? They're already here. You might not see them, but they're here. And just now when the anointing and the power of God moves, they're going to reveal themselves. Now, I'm not just talking about the chochos. I'm not just talking about the demons. For every person that is here, there is an angel here today. I'm not going to talk about that in detail today. Later I'll give you a sermon about that. But every one of us does have what the world would probably refer to as a guardian angel. You must understand something about God. God put you on this earth knowing that this earth is an evil place. knowing that this earth is a really horrible place, knowing that you are going to encounter people with evil hearts and bad attitudes, jealousy and envy and gossip and slander and backstabbing and, you know, all the stuff that we all have to deal with. You really think he put you down here just to leave you to your own devices? If it wasn't for the fact that God is involved in your life, most of you would not be here today. Because I can tell you something, the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. From the day that you were conceived, he was trying to propagate a plan to destroy your life. But you're still here. This reminds me of that, I think it was in the 80s or the 90s. There was that advertisement on TV. En wie moet ons bedank? Boland. Boland Bank. No, that's not right. En wie moet ons bedank? Jesus. Jesus Christus. Who must we thank? We must thank God. I think some of you, if you sit and you think back on your life, you know, that accident that you were in, that you could have died, but you didn't. Everybody says, how did you get out of that thing alive? Or how did that person even miss you or what? Yeah, I want to tell you something. Our guardian angels are busy. And they are much busier than we think. Because the demonic realm is real, but so is the angels of God. Now, getting back to the angels. There is not one church or ministry in this world. And I'm talking about godly ministries. I'm not talking about people playing church. You know, there's a lot of people running around out there. There's no call upon their life. God's not involved in what they do. They manipulate people. Do you remember that thing that we saw? Somebody, Mr. Joao. You sent something about some woman sitting there calling herself a prophet. Have you got that thing here? Do you remember that? With the ice. She's going to pray over the ice. Okay, he's forgotten. He's zoned out. Yeah. Now you remember. You see, Mr. Joao forgot until you mentioned the money. Now it's like ding, 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 ding. Is it there? I wonder, where's Uncle Ed? Oh, sorry. Mr. Joao, I had a moment like you. I wasn't there. Okay. Ed, see if you can put that thing on. Do you think you can get it on? Okay. Say again. Listen, yeah. Diane, give me that thing that person sent you. Is it on the same? Oh, I did. Let him get that first. All right. I'm going to show you now what we're talking about when I say it must be real. There's a lot of people out there playing church. And I want to tell you something. Did any of you ever read a book by the name of A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter? I do believe that the experiences that she had was real. Because there's too many people that come up with the same stuff. And the stuff they come up with is actually in the Bible. And you know, you have to be very careful. Now, what I do remember about that book, it's a book about a woman that Jesus came and took her to hell for a couple of days in a row. I think for 20 days. How many? For 10 days. Every night, Jesus would come and fetch her. And he would take her, and she would be protected because he would be with her, and she would see the different compartments of hell, and she would see the people. And then she came to this one place where there was people being excruciatingly tormented, like in the most horrible ways. And she asked, who are they? And then he said, they are the ones that should have taught my people. But instead of teaching them the right things, they taught them all the wrong things, and they did things for their own gain. And he said to her, there's a special place in hell for people that so-called minister the word of God, but they are doing it for their own devices, or they are doing it in a wrong way. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible where the apostle Paul, he writes, I think it was Paul, but in any case, he writes, he says, let us not all aspire to leadership, because we will be more severely judged. Now, if you think about that, my friend, that is a warning that should be taken very, very seriously. Because when we stand up in any sense of leadership and we endeavor to lead people on behalf of God, and we start doing the wrong thing, we lead people astray. In fact, Jesus himself said, if anybody leads these little children astray, it is better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and be thrown into the deepest parts of the sea, because God will not stand for that. Now, that has to do with little children, but does it just have to do with little children, or does it also have to do with people that are spiritually immature? Because you see, here's the thing. A lot of people come from church backgrounds where they've been in the church for 30 years, but they've learned nothing. They are spiritually immature. And they are impressionable. And if you go and tell them, oh, but it's like this, and it's like this, and it's like this, sometimes they will believe you. I'm not saying it's right for them to do that, but I'm saying that sometimes these things will happen. Now, the Bible warns us that if that is what we do and we think we're going to get away with it, be very careful. Because there will be judgment for the way that you lead people. Let me just check and see. Uncle Ed, will you let me know when you are ready? Are we getting there? Slowly but surely. Is it not listening? It sounds a bit like Diane. It must be her phone.
I'm delivered.
Are you delivered? Okay, sorry. I was thinking in the past. I'm just joking, eh? I'm just joking. All right. Uncle Ed is going to try and sort that out. It's very interesting. And even though it's funny, I think you should see this, because there's a lot of rubbish like this out there. And this morning, I heard a couple of things that really troubled my spirit. Because there's rubbish going on in the church. There's nonsense. There's people trying to manipulate, people trying to control, people leading people astray. And it's not good, and it's not right. And I don't think God stands for that. So, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, every church has an angel. And the church needs an angel, because you must understand something. The devil doesn't like the church. But let me clarify that. You cannot say that of all churches. Because there are some churches the devil loves them. In fact, you know what? This is my personal opinion. And if I'm wrong, God one day has to discipline me in this regard. But here's the fact. There are some churches that the devil actually has no problem with. And if you really want to go to church, he will push you towards that kind of church. What type of church is that? Well, that's dead churches. Because the devil, he wants people to go to places where people play church. Because that's not going to change your life. That's not going to get you to change your life. When somebody is truly walking a road with God, should you be able to see it? Well, the Bible says that we must be the salt and the light of this world. When God is in your life, people should be able to see something different about you. You know, the world is in darkness, right? Imagine if you've lived in darkness for most of your life. And suddenly somebody one day comes walking in there and there's light emanating from them. You know the thing about light makes everything easier. Who likes a nice cup of coffee? Okay, there's all of you. I'm not going to ask you who likes a nice bit of Brandewijn, because, you know, this is Springs and I don't want to get people all excited. You know, just now somebody's going to tell me they have to go home now because they've just developed a craving. No, just cut that off. Anyway, so we're asking the question, who likes a nice cup of coffee? Now, I want you to think about your house. And then I want you to think about what it would be like for you to make that nice cup of coffee if we have a complete total blackout. There is no moon. There is no electricity. Everything is pitch black. There are no candles. There are no matches. There's no cigarettes. There's no nothing. It's dark. Now you still want that nice cup of coffee. How difficult is it now going to be for you to go through the motions in pitch? Are we talking inky blackness? It's not difficult to make coffee, is it? I mean, most of us can do it. We've sort of caught on to it fairly quickly. But even something easy becomes extremely difficult when we are in darkness. Now, here's the thing. There's a whole bunch of people living their life in darkness right now. They muddle along, but they don't realize that they're in darkness. And you will not know that you're in darkness. You know, if darkness is all that you know, you accept that as the state that you live your life in. Until one day somebody comes and there's light and it's like, what? Wow, it's a whole new world. Oh, there's the coffee cup. Oh, there's the kettle. Oh, there's the spoon. Suddenly it becomes easier. We must be the light in a dark world. And when light comes into a dark place, people will take notice. Okay, just pause it for me. I'm going to play it now. Let me just finish what I want to say now. So we must be this light. Do you know how to evangelize people? The easiest way to evangelize people is through your lifestyle. It's got nothing to do with what you say. People are not stupid. There's a lot of people out there, they say one thing, but they do another thing behind your back. And that's why, with all due respect, people don't want to go to church. Because they have encountered Christians who are hypocrites. They've encountered Christians that talk a lot, but don't do what they say. And a lot of people, including some people sitting here today, have been hurt by people like that. And then, it's not fair and it's not right, but that tends to happen. We have this issue that if that's how God's kingdom is, then I don't want to be part of it. My friend, you do want to be part of it, because that's not how God's kingdom is. That's how people are. And that's how people that play church act. That's not how true, spirit-filled believers act. There's a difference. And then it says we must be the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Here's the thing. There are people out there living a mundane life, having nothing to show for it, just existing from day to day, no pleasure, no excitement. There's a difference between having worldly pleasure and having joy. Let me put it to you that way. Rather than saying there's no pleasure, let me say there's no joy. What's the difference between pleasure and joy? Pleasure is in the moment. Like you cop that Branovain and like your brain starts swimming and you act like an idiot and you're like all happy and everything is cool and life is great. Tomorrow morning you wake up with a babalas and all your problems are still there and you're depressed again and there's no joy. Why? Because happiness is in the moment, joy is in the heart. And what a lot of people are trying to do through drugs and sex and alcohol and whatever is they're trying to find joy. It brings momentary happiness. But the problem is still there when the high crashes down. The difference between joy and happiness is joy comes from within you. Happiness comes because of your circumstances. I want to make you a promise. If you're depressed right now, and I come and I put 10,000 rand in your hands, you're going to be like, oh, praise God, hallelujah, everybody dance with me. Da, 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 da. There we go, okay. But the 10,000 rand is probably not going to fix all your problems and your depression will be back within a week. Am I wrong? Oh, I'm going to come and I give you a brand new car. Oh, praise God, glory, hallelujah. Oh, bless you, Lord. Everybody get excited with me. I'm going to have a party. Fact of the matter is your problems are not going to disappear because you have a new car. I'll never forget many years ago. A gentleman comes to see me at my office. And I hear this massive noise. Makes me think a bit of you. No, not you, your husband. Why you look so panicky? Have you got something to hide? Okay, I'm just checking. I just saw that like reverse, it's not me. That's how I used to look when my dad said, who did this? It's not me. Anyway, so here's the thing. This guy comes to see me and he comes there with a Harley Davidson. Fat boy. Massive, big, I don't know what the size of the engine was, but I tell you what, the foundations of the house went da, 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 da. Makes this extreme noise. He's got the peapod helmet. He's got the booties on. He's got the nice jacket. He's got the full apparel. Comes walking in there with the tassels all, you know, everything looks so nice. Goes and sits down. I said to him, wow, you got an interesting bike. Very nice. Oh, yeah, it's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. Within half an hour, he starts opening up to me. Do you know what? He sits there. He's a big man. Probably weighed about 150 kilos. Massive. In Afrikaans, I'll say a blok van a man. Like a brick of a man. Starts crying like a baby. He says to me, "You see that bike out there?" I say, "Yes." He says, "I bought that. I thought it was going to give me some happiness." He says, "But you know what? I have no happiness. I have no joy." He says, "I've been trying to buy things to make me feel better, but I'm hollow, I'm empty inside, and I'm falling apart." And you know what? That is how it is. The bike, when he bought it, for a month or two, he was happy. But these problems didn't disappear. The emptiness inside of him didn't disappear because he had something new. In fact, now he felt even worse because he's got this very expensive bike that he has to pay off. And he's still feeling the same. He's not feeling any better. Do you know why? Because he had no joy. Okay, in his case, he didn't even know God. I had to lead him to God that day. I led him in a prayer of salvation. He accepted Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came into his life. And you know what? Things got better from that day on. I'm not going to say his whole life was sorted out, but I think he found his way in life. We have to be the salt of the earth, which means we have to add flavor to people's lives. If all you have in your life is, what can I use? Millipop. Okay, some of you actually like pop, I know that. But I'm talking about pop without, have you ever had pop without salt? Okay, I want to tell you something. I'm sure down in hell, that's what they get fed in the mornings. It's like pop without salt because it's the most horrible, slimy, ridiculous thing that you can ever eat. Sometimes I share, we had this maid when I was growing up. Looking back today, I know she had quite a few chochos. Back then, I didn't know nothing, so she used to have this, you know, whenever her and my mother had a fight, the next morning we get pop without salt. It was like her way of taking it out on us. And then I complained to my mother, then my mother has the standard, eat your food. You know, it's like, you know, you take one bite and then you try and hold it down because it wants to come up. Anyway, it's horrible. It's disgusting. But the funny thing is, a couple of that little white thingies, crystals, instantly changes the way it tastes. You add salt to it and it's actually nice. You will actually go and you will ask for more. There's not a big difference between the pop without the salt and the pop with the salt. The consistency is the same, the texture is the same, but the taste is so much different. Now here's the thing. There's a whole bunch of people out there in the world, they've been eating Millipop without salt. In other words, their life has no flavor. They don't know that they're missing something. They will not know that they're missing something until they taste something better. When you eat meat, it's actually quite nice. Okay, I am a burki, I accept. But let's say all you had is pop your whole life. And one day I come in there with a nice rump steak. Or a nice fillet. Or a nice susati. Or a lekker piece of boerewors. And I'm not talking any boerewors. I'm talking good quality stuff like what you make. Very nice, very nice. Okay, the T-bone. Yeah, me, I'm not so keen on T-bones. But for you, a T-bone, yes. T-bone. For you, prawns. I can actually accept that. Yes, prawns. It's like you take a couple of bites there and you think to yourself, man.
With salt.
With salt, yes. Why have I been starving myself of all this good stuff? Well, the world is like that. People are lost, but they don't realize that they are lost because it's all that they know. And you cannot convert somebody if you cannot add flavor to their life. Because you know what? If you're just as lost as what they are, why must they follow you? They are blissfully wallowing around in their lostness. Your lostness is not going to change anything, but give them something different and it changes things. Okay, we have to make a difference. I was sharing with you that there is this video. This is one of a lot of ones that we've seen lately. And I want to show you how people use the things of God's kingdom for their own devices. I think it's enlightening. I think it is shocking. I think it is scary. But I think we need to know what is out there so that we can also prepare ourselves. You can play it. Oh.
Greetings in the name of the mighty Lord. I am Pastor Tenjiwe of the Church of Believers with a lot of extra cash. And I come to you today to share with you the miracle that the Lord Almighty has chosen to give me the power of. Today I will share with you how you can wash all your problems away, how you can melt all your problems away. For only 100 rands, you can come to my church and get this frozen water. This water is frozen by the power of the Lord, the power that the Lord has given me. All I have to do is pray and pray for the water. And as I pray for the water, shalamosh, it freezes. And then when you give me the 100 pounds or the 100 rands or the 100 dollars or the 100 euros, depending which country you come from, but the Lord Almighty will not accept any Zimbabwean dollars, Nigerian Nairas, or any other African currencies that do not have any value. But this water, what happens is, you take it home with you. And let me show you. You put it next to your bed before you go to sleep. And then you pray. You tell the Lord all the problems that you want him to melt away. And when you get up in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, you see that the water would have melted. All your, as the water melts, your problems are melting away. So if you come to my church and you pay me this money, you are not wasting your money. Because this money will help you. If you have debts, you tell the Lord, melt my debts. Your debts will melt away. If you have problems in your love life, you tell the Lord, melt the problems in my marriage or in my love life. The Lord will melt it away. There is not one person who has come back complaining that the water did not melt. So the water is guaranteed to melt away. And as it melts away, it melts all your problems. For more information, come to my church on Sunday. Pastor Tenjiwe, please don't come to my church unless you have money. Because we are the church of believers with a lot of extra cash. Praise be to God.
Okay, Eddie just actually
greetings
told me that.
In the name of the mighty Lord.
Just pause it.
I am Pastor Tenji.
All right. Okay, she's a comedian. She's making fun of. Okay, this is not, it's just an act. But the reason she does this is because this is the type of rubbish that is out there. There are people that fall for this nonsense all the time. We all know about the doom guy. Yes, I know. Bring it here. I want to read it to the people. I'm going to read you this. All right. This pastor sent them something on Facebook wanting money for his church. And she replied that right now they don't have the finances to help, but in their community they are doing what God called them to do. I want to read you the reply that she received. This is part of what just bothered me so much. He says, "You are a servant of God, yet you are not merciful or kind to the less privileged around you, or even listen to the cry of your fellow tendered across to you. You are yet to become a man of God. You are not yet one. Of course, you are far away from the legacies Jesus dropped or left for us, his followers. You laugh over a brother's cry or situation. Please go and have a seat. When you are called, a tree cannot function well without the branches. You are a brother's problem, as well as your problem. We are one, irrespective of the diversified nature of our language and our culture. No two ways about it. Watch your life today and be sure it is in accordance to the life and the principles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Using what God has blessed you with to serve God and to save humanity is the best sacrifice ever. Now repent and return back to Christ on this day that you still have breath. Your duty is shepherding the flock of our Father in heaven, not to mock, abuse, extort, or destroy them. Search your heart. The merciful and kind attacks mercy and kindness. You want to see God? No, you can't. He uses the human to make himself available to those who believe in him, in truth and in spirit. When you did it for your neighbor, brother, and follower, and fellow, you did it for God in heaven as well. Don't expect mercy when you don't know what it depicts. I love you all. What a load of nonsense. He doesn't love nobody. He loves himself. And he loves money.
I think you should read what she replied because it's fair.
All right. Okay, I want to say something about that. And I'm going to say this to all of you. Facebook is full of rubbish. And I want to discourage you. I actually said the same to her. Do not get involved with these people. Listen, yeah, these people, this is not a man of God, because no man of God, what he's trying to do is manipulate her now through fear to give. What is that? It's called witchcraft. Witchcraft is using some force to manipulate. Fear is a force that can be used to manipulate, because he's saying to her that she's going to go to hell because she doesn't hear the voice of God speaking to her today to give. Okay, this is what she answered. What is the purpose of this message? Do you know the circumstances of your brothers or sisters in Christ that you are lashing out like this? You are using the name of God to give your brothers and sisters a hiding for not reaching out to you. You don't know how we have been helping those in need. I have nothing to give, yet I share what I eat with others, even complete strangers. We have lost everything, and even then I never shut my door on anyone's face. It hurts to see that you are behaving like this even after I had prayed with you for your ministry, for breakthrough, and for provision. The word of God says the prayer of the righteous is powerful and avails much. I have seen doors open where I never knew it was possible. You must search your heart because your faith is obviously in the wrong place. The word of God says we are cursed if we look to humans who is mere flesh. Our hope must be solely on God, and God will touch the right people's hearts to help. Search your heart, because you will have to answer to God for the idle words that you speak and the assumptions that you make about your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to bless each other at all times and not to curse. And when you speak for God, you better be sure that God spoke, for it will be a great and terrible thing to face if you go up against the word and heart. I place this in God's hands, and I pray for the Holy Spirit to take control. A curse without a cause shall not come to light, and if you repay good with evil, evil will never leave your home. This is serious stuff. You should really consider the consequences of your actions and your words. God has mercy if we humble ourselves and repent. If you don't repent, you will not be able to withstand what will come. The word of God says, touch not the anointed. Tell me, what have you done to help each and every one of these brothers and sisters you have tagged in this nasty message, to help them in their problems? Yet you are lashing out at them all. Should we not be there, one for the other? God says we must use our gifts to serve one another. I know I did that because the gift of faith can do so much more than money. And that's here today and gone tomorrow. I did what I could to help, and this is how you repay me.
Okay.
I said to you that some people play church. This man plays church. He's using the name of God. He's using the kingdom of God to get what he wants. You know what? Here's how I see things. If I'm wrong, God must talk to me about it. God is the provider. And you know what? God never gave us a mandate to go and cry by other people and try and manipulate them by the way we speak and by veiled threats and nonsense to give. You know, many times it's been said, yeah, when we do an offering, I never say nothing. And I don't. You know why? because you don't provide for me, you don't provide for me, you don't provide for me. None of you do. God does. And you know what? I don't have to do God's work for him. If God wants you to give me something, he'll touch your heart and you'll give. If God doesn't want it, I don't need it from you.
Mm.
Yes. I want to say something to you. Many years ago, amen. Many years ago, a businessman came to see me. He said to me, God spoke to him that he must become involved in my ministry. At that stage, I did not have a lot of money. I really, really did not have a lot of money. But you know what? Something about the way that he spoke to me bothered me. And the Holy Spirit would not let me go. And I answered him and I said to him, you know what? I want to thank you for that offer. But I decline. And he was like all upset with me. How can I say to him, you know what? God hasn't given me peace in my heart. And this is not something that I want to do. Whatever comes into my life must come from God. It must not come from man. Because I want to tell you the difference. When God sends it, it'll be a blessing. When man gives it, there will be some expectation that I have to do something in return. And then that's going to create a problem. And in the end, what should be a blessing is going to become a curse. Or the person is constantly going to say to me, you know what? I gave this and I gave that now. No. I want to say to you respectfully, the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. Manipulation has no place in the kingdom of God. This woman, she's a comedian. She's making fun of what's happening out there, but unfortunately what she does is real because that rubbish is out there. This gentleman that sent her this message is a so-called man of God, but in his actions, he's not a man of God. I want to just quickly finish reading this scripture.
In my country they say what the right hand gives, the left
hand doesn't know. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now listen, yeah. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Where does that reputation come from? That reputation does not come from God. That reputation comes from people. I want to say something to you. And I do say this respectfully, but there's a lot of churches in this world today that has a reputation that they are movers and shakers, that they are alive. And you know how people say that they are alive? Oh, but we've got 2,000 members. Oh, we got 6,000 members. Oh, we got 4 services a day and we've got 10,000 people coming to a service. Oh, we've packed a stadium. My friend, listen to what Jesus himself said. Man might think you're alive, but when I look at you, you're dead. It's got nothing to do with the numbers. It's got nothing to do with what car the pastor drives and how many bodyguards have to follow him when he goes up onto the stage. I'm sorry, all that is just, it's rubbish. Because Jesus says, yeah, I know your deeds. And I want to say to everybody here, God knows your deeds. Nothing, nothing stays in darkness. At the right time, everything will be revealed. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Now listen to what he says. He says, wake up. Strengthen what remains and what is about to die. He says to this church, and it's interesting to note he's talking to a church. A church is made up of people, a lot of people, and they're all in the same boat. He says, you are just about to die. The enemy is just about to suck the last little bit out of you. I'm giving you one more chance. This is scary stuff. I'm giving you one more chance. Wake up and strengthen what remains. The little that you have that still honors me. Begin to build on that. Forget about all this other nonsense. Build on what is right and what is true. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Do you hear that? God looks at our deeds. That's why I said, when people talk, everybody can talk. God's not that interested in what you have to say. God wants to see, does your lifestyle back what you say? And you know what? This is a reflection of how Christianity has become. You know, every second oak out there is a Christian until you look at their life. You cannot match what they say to what they do. And what Jesus said to this church is still holding true today. We cannot talk. We must show who we are. You know, I said earlier on, a reason why a lot of people want nothing to do with Christianity is because of this. Because we have people that talk, but you never see nothing. Then people say, but why do I want to be like this one? People have been hurt because I love God, but tomorrow I steal 100,000 rand from you. Oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Tomorrow I screw you out of this or that or whatever. You know, people have no scruples anymore. And if you claim to represent the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, Majesty Himself, you better understand that He's going to watch over who you are and what you do. Because what you do affects the people around you. Do you know how many children I have counseled over the years that don't want to serve God because their parents, who claim to be Christians, treated them like rubbish? Now, how do I get that child to understand that that was not God, because the parents sit in church all the time, but they got no problem stabbing people in the back and gossiping and stealing and doing stupid stuff? It creates a problem. Then he goes on, he says, I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and what you have heard. Obey it and repent. Oh, I want to talk about that. He's speaking to this church. And he says to them, listen, yeah, you got no excuse because you heard the truth many times. You chose not to obey it. I want to stop here and I want to say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's easy to come here on a Sunday or any other church in this country for that matter and hear. God never called you to come and sit here and listen. He called you to come and be equipped, to be taught, to be instructed on how to live your life. And you know what? You're going to have no excuse if you stand before God one day and it's like, God says to you, but look at what you did with your life. Oh, yeah, but I didn't know. What do you mean you didn't know? You sat in church every Sunday. You heard the truth, but you never obeyed. You never listened and you never changed. Do you know what the word repentance means? The word repentance means simply change, my friend. Religious people can't understand why they need to change because they are so religious they must be perfect. And that's just the way it is. But I don't care how many religious demons you have in your life, you need to change. Because here's the thing, God loves us, but He doesn't love us in the sense that He's going to let us stay the way we are. Because of His love for us, He wants us to be better. And because of His love for us, He wants us to change. You can come to church every single Sunday and sit and listen and say, oh, you know what? Oh, today the pastor had such a nice sermon. Go out there and never do what it said, and you come under judgment. Because the Bible says, today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. And this is exactly what we do. You know, the other day I made a joke about it, but it's actually not something to joke about. It's real. Many times people have this attitude when a specific sermon is preached. It's like, oh man, you know, Auntie Jenny is not here today. She should have been here because she has to. Auntie Jenny, I'm not cursing you. I'm just using you as an example. Okay. But the fact is, it's like, this is how we are. It's like, oh, you know, so-and-so should listen. Oh, I hope that one's opening their ears and listening when the one thinking those things is the one that needs this the most. You know, Jesus said, first take the beam out of your own eye before you see the splinter in somebody else's. And you know what? That is so true. Many times I have people talk to me and then I think to myself, man, you know, you're going on about so and so, but you obviously can't see what's in your own life. Why? Because you're blinded. Listen to what he says. I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and what you have heard. Obey it and repent. That word still speaks to all of us today. When God speaks, He's not wasting His breath. He has something to say. If you hear it, what does Deuteronomy 28 say? Today, when you hear my voice, if you obey me, I will bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, do you want to be blessed? It's time to obey God. Deuteronomy chapter 28 speaks of the blessings and the curses. And yes, curses are real because the Bible talks about them in many different places. Don't tell me they're not real because then you haven't read your Bible. Now.
And some of the curses we bring them on ourselves because of our
yes. Now listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Today, when you hear my voice, if you do not obey me, I will curse you. How about you? You don't understand. I serve a God of love, but he says it in his word. You see, he might be a God of love, but he also doesn't have to stand for your nonsense. What do you do to your children when you keep talking, and they don't listen? You have to sort them out. But, or there goes the iPhone. Or there goes the party. Why? Because until you don't discipline your child doesn't change. Now you think God expects you to discipline your child, but he doesn't discipline you? My friend, let's quickly call a spade. Yeah, that's stupid for you to think that way. Remember therefore what you have received. Hear it, obey it, and repent. You know, sometimes it's so easy for us to think that, oh, you know what, I don't actually have anything to repent of. Well, then you're already deceived. Because as you sit here, none of you are perfect, including myself. And every now and then God will, why does God speak to us through his word? Because when you hear the truth has the potential to set you free. Until you don't hear the truth, you don't know. But it's bad for you when you keep hearing and hearing and hearing, but you never let it change you. Because that, in God's eyes, deserves a curse. I want to say to you, there's a lot of people that right now are stuck in certain circumstances that do not change. You don't have to ask a lot of questions. There's your answer. Probably God has been speaking to you many times, but you've not changed. You are under that curse. Yes, you can blame the devil for the curse, but the devil is not really the source of the problem. The source of the problem is your heart, because your heart will not change. And you know, but the Bible says, give the devil no place. I can't keep praying the same devil out of you. We need to deal with different devils all the time, not the same ones. And the reason we deal with the same ones all the time is because you don't change. What is opening the door? Absolutely. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. And you will not know at what time I will come for you. I will come for you. This is God speaking, not the devil. I want to tell you something. Hiding from God is worse than hiding from the devil. Yet, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but I will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, there are days for an uplifting sermon and there are days for an instructional sermon. And today is a day for an instructional sermon. Today we need to hear the truth and we need to all look at our hearts and we need to ask the question, where am I wrong? If this whole church messed up, don't tell me you can't. Because God still speaks to the churches in the same way today. Sometimes it's a day to pat you on the head and say to you, job well done. Other times it's a time for you to say, for God to speak to you and say to you, if you don't get off this road, you're going to go down into an abyss that you're not going to get out of. We can't have this attitude because I'm in church and I serve God. Everything in my life must be fine. No. God expects us to act the part. Did you hear what he said? I have found your works incomplete. Why? Because it's not about talk. It's what we do. And God and the devil both sees what we do. It's time for us to change. You want to understand what this is all about? It's about repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What happens when the kingdom of God comes? When the kingdom of God comes in your life, things change. Boom. And I want to say this to you sometimes, and I've seen this many times. When people just come to God, there's a lot of grace and a lot of mercy for them. Yeah. Because God does want you to know that He's real, and things happen quickly. And God is giving you the opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good. But if you then mess with His mercy and you do not change, the grace will disappear. And you will go back down to where you used to be. Then you must understand where you are in this process. It's time to change, and God will bless you. Amen. Does anybody here believe that God spoke to them? Then take this word, chew on it, let it fill your spirit, and if you believe God wants you to change something, change it, and you will be blessed. Amen. Amen. Amen.